The way of life revealed, and the way of death discovered. Wherein is declared man's happy state before the fall, his miserable state in the fall, and the way of restoration out of the fall into the image of God again, in which man was before the fall. By Charles Marshall. To the reader, be serious when you take in hand to read this treatise, and have a single regard to the state of your immortal soul, and let your spirit bow down to the measure of the Spirit of God given you to profit withal, 1 Corinthians 12:7, that by it the eye of your understanding may be opened to see the things herein contained, which concern your own eternal welfare. And let not your own thoughts and imaginations, in the wisdom from below, which is sensual and earthly, be judged therein, but stand still out of your own comprehendings, and let a true and diligent regard be given to the word in your heart and mouth, placed there, that you may obey it and do it. So will your heart be truly open to read with delight the things opened by the Spirit of truth, who searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God, and the travail in spirit, which is for opening the eyes of the blind and unstopping the ears of the deaf, will be answered. And the Lord God Almighty will have his honor from his own workmanship, and you will have the benefit, which is the desire and longing of him who is a laborer for Zion's perfect deliverance. Charles Marshall, Bristol, the 2nd of 7th month in the year 1673. Man's happy state before the fall. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and after he had made all things on the earth, he made man in his own image, formed him of the dust of the ground, and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree to grow which was pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he that made man in this state gave him a law to preserve him therein, as the scriptures of truth witness, saying, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day you eat thereof you shall surely die. Now God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was good, but not for food. Man was endued with divine wisdom, so that when the Lord God brought every beast of the field and fowl of the air to Adam, he gave names unto them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was its name. Man's station was in the image of God, a living soul, a noble plant, a holy and right seed, filled with divine wisdom and virtue, clothed with innocency and glory, adorned with celestial beauty, in the continual enjoyment of the love and favor of God, having his daily communion with him that made him. There was no death, no darkness, no sorrow, no occasion of tears, no transgression, no knowledge of evil, for he dwelt in the innocent life itself, and was placed in the garden, into which came the river out of Eden that watered it. O blessed state! O happy condition! O inexpressible enjoyment, beauty, and glory! It is beyond the tongue of man to declare fully that blessed, happy state of joy, peace, holiness, righteousness, and fruition of life, which man was in before he transgressed the royal law of God. Man's miserable state in the fall. But now, he who kept not his first habitation, nor abode in the truth, envied man's happiness in the truth. And therefore, as a serpent, more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, came to the woman and said, Has God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And here the serpent got an entrance. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate, and the eyes of them both were opened. Here the God of the world prevailed, so as to open an eye that saw evil to be pleasant, and to blind the true eye in these children of disobedience, that they should no longer behold the glory of God. And here they lost the robe of righteousness and the garment of innocency. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. And the Lord God called unto Adam, saying, Where are you? And the man said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And the Lord God said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? He began to excuse himself, saying, The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I ate. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. On your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So the Lord sent man forth from the garden to till the ground, and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Oh, deplorable change! Oh, lamentable undone condition and inexpressible fall! He that was in the image of the incorruptible being, a living soul, inhabiting the garden of the Lord, where the tree of life was, and the glory of the divine being was known and enjoyed, now was driven out from all into the earth, and not only so, but the cherubim and flaming sword that turns every way was placed to guard the way to the tree of life. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, O earth. The Lord God brought up children, and they rebelled against him. Now, what was the cause and ground of this change that brought man into this deplorable state and condition? Was it not disobedience to the righteous law of God? Did not sin enter into the world through disobedience and death by sin? And is not sin continued in the world through disobedience? Is there any other way by which sin enters now than it did then? And death by sin, which has reigned and reigns over all who are in the fallen state from God, even over those who have not sinned according to the similitude of Adam's transgression, Romans 5:14. For all have not sinned according to his similitude, who was deceived with an expectation of a higher state than that in which the Lord God had placed him. But all iniquity, of whatever kind, springs from one ground, and separates man from his God. So the ground of all iniquity and transgression is man's disobeying the righteous law of God, disobedience unto which brings death. But what was it in Adam that died? And what was this death? Seeing that the Lord said, In the day you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. And yet, though he did eat, he continued to live outwardly and had children. It was the inward man that died, which was so made by the living breath of the Almighty. For man, going out of the counsel of the Lord by his disobedience, came to be alienated from the life of God, and so became insensible of that life in which he was wholly a right seed and a noble plant. In his degeneration, he became inwardly dead. The inward senses of the inward man were lost. The inward ear was stopped. The inward eye was blinded. The inward sense of tasting how good the Lord is, the inward feeling after his divine virtue, who is all power, life, love, and joy. The inward sense of smelling were all lost. And instead of this, an ear was opened that hearkened to the voice of the stranger, and an eye was opened that saw the forbidden fruit to be pleasant and desirable. The heavenly clothing of innocency, meekness, and resignation was lost, and thus he came to be without God in the world. In this state, man was altogether out of a capacity of abiding in the garden, of partaking of the heavenly tree of life that was in the midst thereof. And in this state are all the unconverted sons and daughters of men, notwithstanding all their fig leaf coverings of religious profession. But as the law of the Spirit of life breaks forth in its manifestation, and the sons and daughters of men come to be awakened by it, they will have the sight and true sense of their inward state and condition, which will indeed cause a cry to arise in the soul, O wretched state, O miserable condition! Here the entrance of sin comes to be seen, which has brought death. For the wages of sin is death, which was the death that came over Adam, and over all since then who have disobeyed the righteous spiritual law of God, which is just, holy, and good, and was before transgression, which law leads to Christ, the promised seed, the gift of God, which is eternal life. Having thus departed out of that nature, image, and seed, in which he had his being before transgression, man has become the degenerate plant of a strange vine before the Lord. Jeremiah 2:21. And from the sons and daughters of men, as they stand joined to this nature and seed of the serpent, which has defiled man in soul, body, and spirit, proceed the branches and fruits of iniquity. Man having fallen into this miserable, deplorable state, God, in his boundless loving kindness, has opened a way by which he might be restored up to himself again, which way is the promised seed, concerning whom he said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Herein was the tender mercy of God extended unto mankind, in giving the seed, that is, Christ Jesus. Otherwise, all would have been like Sodom and like unto Gomorrah, which God destroyed with fire in his wrath. This is that one seed upon whom he has laid help, Psalm 89:19, who is mighty to save, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, in whose image man was before the transgression, who was glorified with the Father before the world began. This is he of whom I give testimony, that he is the way of life and salvation, and that there is no other name by which any man can be saved than by him who was and is to come, who was from everlasting to everlasting, the rock of ages, which followed Israel, and was in the church in the wilderness, as Stephen testified before he was stoned to death, Acts 7:38. This is he who is without beginning of days or end of life, who in the fullness of time was manifest, taking on him not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham, for whom there was a body prepared to do the will of his Father, who, after he had accomplished it, ascended where he was before, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. This is the Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus the Savior, Christ the Anointed, who has been called by several names and spoken of under several appellations through the mouths of his servants, the prophets and apostles in ages and generations past. This is the only beloved of the ransomed ones, and this is our friend. And now he is arisen and arising, whose outgoings have been from everlasting, who is the Ancient of Days, in the might of his power and is revealing the good old way and path of life, in which way Abel, Seth, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the servants, prophets, apostles, and saints of the Most High God walked through all ages and generations. This way was before all the invented ways and worships which had been set up in the will and time of man. For all the holy men of God and saints of the Most High worshipped God in the spirit of holiness, in which they were accepted by Him, who is the God of the spirits of all flesh. And no outward performance was ever acceptable unto the Lord, except as it was performed in this spirit. The way of restoration out of the fall into the image of God, in which man was before the fall. But how salvation comes to be wrought by Him, and how mankind may be brought again into Him, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and brought out from under the power and dominion of the seed of the serpent, in which by nature all have been the children of wrath. This indeed is the thing that lies on my spirit weightily to demonstrate, having obtained mercy to see this way of life and salvation revealed and opened. And not only so, but a necessity is laid upon me to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus and to declare the way of life and salvation to my countrymen through this island of England. And now a necessity is also upon my spirit to leave a testimony of the same upon record. This is generally confessed, that in the first Adam all died, and in the second Adam, Christ the Lord, all come to be made alive again. But how mankind comes out of this state of death in the first Adam into this state of life in the second Adam is that which the wisdom of this world never knew nor comprehended rightly. Man, by that wisdom, has only imagined and conceived something in the carnal mind concerning this great mystery, and therein has set up many inventions of the way of life and salvation. And into these many ways of man's invention and imagination, set up in the fallen wisdom of man, there have been several calls of lo here, lo there. But the day has dawned and is now breaking forth more and more, magnified and praised be the name of Almighty God, wherein all invented ways, set up in the will and wisdom of man, which is earthly, sensual, and devilish, shall come to an end. And now, in the name of the mighty God, all the graven images, the work of men's hands, and earthly wisdom shall be broken to pieces and ground to powder. The mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it, who will perform it by the might of His arm. Therefore, tremble, all you image makers of all sorts, who have been making likenesses of the way of life and salvation in your own fallen wisdom and corrupt wills, and have made gods thereof, and have bowed down to and worshipped them, so that it may be said of Christendom, so called, as it was once said of Israel, according to the number of your cities, so are your gods, O Judah. Jeremiah 2:28. But now is the fullness of time coming, wherein the ancient way of holiness, in which the righteous walked through all ages and generations, is cast up and being made manifest, which way is Christ Jesus, the gift of the Father's love unto the sons and daughters of men, who has, as before mentioned, been declared by His prophets and apostles under several names or appellations, according as He was pleased to manifest Himself to them, and as His Spirit gave them utterance. Amongst many other appellations, He has been declared a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the rock that followed Israel, who was in the church in the wilderness, a king, a lawgiver, wonderful counselor, prince of peace, a branch, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the arm of God's salvation, a covenant, Messiah, a leader, a commander, a captain, the horn of God's anointed, a stone of stumbling, a foundation laid in Zion, the cornerstone, the Word of God, the Word that was in the beginning, the true light that enlightens every man that comes into the world, the way, the truth, and the life, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Christ, Emmanuel, Jesus, the beginning of the creation of God, the firstborn of every creature, the first begotten from the dead, the faithful witness, Alpha and Omega, bright and morning star, the image of the invisible God, the offspring of David. He has been spoken of under these and other names, and yet has a name that no man knows but himself, who is that one eternal fountain of blessedness and the one precious Savior, and there is no other besides him. And now, by the power of the holy everlasting God, he is preached under the name of Light. In this island of the Gentiles, according as it was prophesied of old by Isaiah, who said, "Is it a light thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the ends of the earth." Isaiah 49:6. And this is one with the testimony of John, who said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which enlightens every man that comes into this world. And with this agrees the testimony of just Simeon, who came by the Spirit into the temple and took the child Jesus in his arms and said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Luke 2:29-32. This is he of whom we testify, whose light is the way to life. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 3:19-21. Now this light, which the servants of the Most High God testified of, is that which has been spoken of under several names. For this manifestation of God in man is sometimes called the Word, the Spirit, the Law, the Grace of God, and the Word, Light, Grace, Law, and Spirit are all one in nature, although diversely named. Moses called it the Word and directed men to this Word in the heart and in the mouth. Deuteronomy 30:14. And Paul, that illuminated man, referring to this, says, "Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven," that is, to bring Christ down from above, "or who shall descend into the deep," that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? "The Word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart," that is, the Word of faith which we preach. Romans 10:6-8. This is the sure word of prophecy, unto which Peter directs us to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star rises in the heart. This light is the law of the Spirit of life, with which Paul was acquainted, and warred against the law of sin and death in his members. It is the law in the heart, and the Spirit in the inward parts, the new covenant of God Almighty. This is the law that converts the soul, which law Paul delighted in according to the inward man, of which the scriptures of truth plentifully testify. This is that grace which Paul declared brings salvation, which has in different measures appeared to all men, as God's talent or mina, teaching all that are led and guided by it to deny all ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly, godly, and righteously in this present world. Titus 2:11-12. This is that grace which the Lord, the giver thereof, told Paul was sufficient for him to deliver him from his temptation, the thorn in the flesh. The same apostle said unto the Ephesians, by grace you are saved. And this is the manifestation of the Spirit which is given to every man to profit withal. 1 Corinthians 12:7. This is that good Spirit of the Lord given to Israel who rebelled against it. Psalm 106:33 and Isaiah 63:10. As the old world did, unto whom the Lord said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Genesis 6:3. This Spirit, light, word, or grace, is given to man to be their leader and guide out of sin, death, and darkness, into which man fell through disobeying the righteous law of God, as the Holy Scriptures give clear and full testimony. But now, an objection is ready to arise in some, whose understandings are not yet opened, and whose comprehension of salvation stands in that wisdom which is from below, and in the will and reason of men who are degenerated from the life of God. Some of these have questioned whether the preaching of the Spirit and grace of God manifest within has a tendency to make Christ Jesus' appearance in the flesh, his sufferings, death, resurrection, ascension, to be invalid. Unto this I answer, no. For no one has ever truly discerned or enjoyed the benefit of Christ Jesus' manifestation in the flesh, except as their hearts were opened and their understandings were illuminated by the light, which is a measure of the divine fullness that dwelt in him. And this light is communicated to the immortal soul as the universal love of God, extended in the Son of his love, to all the families of the earth as the revealer and discoverer of the will of him from whose divine fullness it comes. For the scriptures thus witness that no one knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:11. The hearts of the Jews, not being seasoned with this grace of God, and ignorant of the gift of God, which is eternal life, neither discerned, loved, or received Christ Jesus when he was manifest in that outward bodily appearance. Though they professed to honor and regard the prophets, and lived in expectation of the fulfilling of many prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah, when in due time he came, they did not receive him, but instead set themselves against him, taking counsel how they might slay him, though in words they professed to be earnestly waiting for him. So it is now. For there are many, at this day, who by their words profess to believe in his coming in the flesh and his sufferings, death, resurrection, and ascension. Yet, having a faith that consists in outward notions, and no inward experience of the purpose of his coming, nor of the virtue of his sufferings, death, and resurrection, they remain enemies in their minds to his second appearance and coming, without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 9:28. So then, there is a necessity for all men to come to and obey this divine spiritual seed, which is placed in their consciences by the living God, and thereby the spiritual eye may be opened, which through disobedience has been blinded by the god of this world. For until this is in some measure effected, the mystery of godliness, which is great, can neither be seen nor understood. For this reason, finding the woman of Samaria ignorant of himself, who was and is that great mystery and the gift of the Father's love, Christ said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says unto you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." John 4:10. The travail in spirit of the messengers and servants of the Most High in ages past was the same as it is now, namely, to turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of the living God. Acts 26:18. This in no way invalidates Christ's manifestation in that bodily appearance, nor his sufferings, death, resurrection, or ascension, but rather, it brings all people to that which will open the eyes of their understanding so as to see and know their benefit by the outward appearance of the Savior of the world. For this we testify, that by one offering all are perfected who are sanctified. Hebrews 10:14. But here arises another objection by some, who may come so far as to acknowledge and confess that there is a seed or light in man that discovers sin and teaches man to do justly and equally, which some call morality. For lack of understanding, many of these deny that this light or seed in man is of a saving property, of the nature and quality of the divine being. And so they become opposers of truth and stumble over that cornerstone which in all generations has been a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Yes, many who are accounted as wise master builders, professors of God and Christ, giving themselves up to be guided by their own wisdom and prudence, yet being ignorant of the root and offspring of David, reject this cornerstone. Now, for the sake of all who desire the true and saving knowledge of Christ Jesus, it is on my spirit yet further to open the nature and property of this seed and light, whose fountain is the eternal being and everlasting ocean of divine fullness, and whose nature and quality is one with the fountain from which it comes. John testified, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," etc. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He also testified that John the Baptist was not that light, but came for a witness, to bear witness that the true light was that which enlightens every man that comes into the world. So the origin of this light is Christ Jesus, the Word. But some may ask, is Christ the light then in every man? To this I answer, Christ does appear by his light in every man, and the light which comes from Christ is in every man, as is clearly demonstrated in the Scriptures of truth. John 1:9, Romans 1:19, Titus 2:11, John 16:8. And though I account it unnecessary to answer the curious inquiries of such who, seeking to know much, do not walk according to what they already know, yet for the sake of those whose understandings are not opened and are inquiring about the way to Zion, I will offer this similitude. The natural sun is placed by the Creator to enlighten the outward world and manifests out from itself a measure of its light and natural property, shining on the just and the unjust, and so giving forth of that virtue which is inherent in itself. When the sun shines upon any object whatsoever, we sometimes say, the sun appears there. Or other times we say, there's the sun. The property of either of these expressions, I suppose none will question. For in that appearance, light is seen and virtue is felt, penetrating to the refreshment of our natural bodies. And this light and heat are inseparable from the fullness. And although the sun does daily shine and display its virtuous life into and over all the earth and its inhabitants, yet its body is not in any way exhausted or altered through ages and generations. In a similar way, I say, Christ, the universal fountain of life, the sun of righteousness, the ocean and fullness of spiritual light, life, and virtue, from whom is communicated a measure of his nature, property, and quality, is given of the Father to enlighten all the sons and daughters of men, who accordingly are all enlightened with his spiritual appearance. And though this inward appearance cannot be called the fullness, yet being a measure of that fullness, it is one in nature and property with and inseparable from the fullness. And though through its virtue, life is daily communicated unto the sons of men, who wait for its appearance as for the morning light, and cannot live unto God without it, yet the fountain knows no lessening or change, but all the fullness of divine light, life, and glory does and shall, through every age and generation, remain the same. Now, because the veil of darkness has overshadowed the hearts of men, when we give testimony to the universal appearance of the Son of Righteousness in the hearts of all the sons and daughters of men, some are ready to say that such a testimony leads to the diminishing of that glory and honor which belongs to him, as he is the fullness and sits at the right hand of the Father, inferring that while we testify to his appearance in our hearts, we exclude his presence elsewhere. Yet this inference is as irrational as it would be for any to conclude that because we say concerning the shining and appearance of the sun, there is the sun, or the sun appears there, we therefore exclude the existence of the sun elsewhere. For we know that its virtue is communicated to our natural bodies, everyone having in measure some enjoyment of the virtue or light of the natural sun, which is light to the eye of the natural body. In a similar way, those whose spiritual senses are quickened by the virtue which proceeds from the eternal Sun of Righteousness do thereby discern spiritual things according to the clear manifestation of truth in their inward parts. And from a sense of this, these can give certain testimony that Christ, the Lord, by his holy life-giving Spirit, has appeared in them to quicken their immortal souls. And they also bear witness that by believing in the light and obeying his appearance, they have come out of that state which is reprobated by the Lord, and can with certain experiential knowledge say, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. And so, when we direct people to this word, seed, light, law, grace, and spirit, we do not thereby intend to suggest that Christ Jesus, the light of the world and the gift of God, is not the true Savior, Redeemer, and Reconciler of man unto God. Now this light and spirit leads the soul of all who obey it up to God, the fountain from whom it comes. And no man can see its nature, but those who are led by it. For it is only in the light of the Lord that man comes to see light and to have true understanding. And before this can be fully seen or understood, the mind of man must be brought down out of all its own willing and running, comprehending and searching unto this light, therein to experience a death to his own will and be comprehended in this light. Thus man comes to have an understanding to know him that is true, and to be in him that is true. 1 John 5:20. Now, as any are convinced and converted by this heavenly seed, which is placed in the conscience to be a guide and leader to mankind, they are led out of darkness where they have been. For the light shines in the darkness, but while he abides in the darkness, man cannot comprehend this light or heavenly grace. The light sometimes moves through the darkness on man's understanding, reproving and discovering the darkness, and causing him to hear its still small voice. Indeed, it daily reproves man while he remains in rebellion and disobedience all the time of his visitation, and also approves and gives peace to man when he is obedient. Although a man may turn and go from it and rebel against it, and thereby become like those of whom Job speaks, who rebel against the light and thereby know not the way of it, Job 24:13, giving way to the working of the God of the world to be drawn out into fading, perishing things. Even so, the light remains immutable in itself, being of and from the unchangeable being, and it remains with man until it is taken from him and he is cast into utter darkness. Jesus compared this gift of the Father to a grain of mustard seed and to a little leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole came to be leavened. The first operation of this heavenly light in those who are convinced by it and turn to it is to show man his true inward state and condition. Thus, the first step in the way of life is to be turned to this holy seed, which teaches the obedient to know God savingly. And when a man comes to have a true sense of his fallen state and sees how he has transgressed against that eternal being who gave him life and breath and who waits long to be gracious and knocks at the door of the heart and strives with him by his divine light, the sense of this will break the heart and tenderize the spirit before the Lord, and under the weight of the great burden of sin and iniquity, there will be a crying out, "My sins are too heavy for me to bear, and my iniquities have gone over my head," saying, as Paul did, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Romans 7:24. Here the eye comes to be opened that sees him, whom man, in his disobedience, has pierced again and put to open shame. And then there will be days of mourning and wailing because of him. And truly, this is the day of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. In the sense of this deplorable fallen state, and the long suffering of the Lord, and the long striving of his spirit, you will see that in the justice of God, eternal death could be your portion. But that which brings you into this sense also begets a secret cry in the soul for a deliverer and savior, and will also give a true sight that there is no way for your soul to be ransomed but in and through the tender mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ, which you will see can be effectually begun in you in no other way than in the way of the judgments of the Lord. For it is through judgment that Zion is redeemed, and her converts with righteousness. Isaiah 1:27. And here also you will see that the measure of the sufferings of Christ that are lacking must be filled up in you. For there is no other way that a man may pass unto life, peace, and joy with the Father of spirits, but the way the captain of salvation has passed, which was through death. And here you will begin to arm yourself with the same mind. 1 Peter 4:1. For no one ceases from sin any further than they suffer in the flesh the crucifying of its affections and lusts. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. And here the end of the gospel's preaching comes to be known and witnessed, which is that all might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. 1 Peter 4:6. And in this inward exercise, the Lord God Almighty will bow down his ear and answer the cries of your awakened soul and manifest his word of power, which all who are in this state will know to be sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of your immortal soul from the spirit and nature of transgression and its daily working, as subjection and obedience are yielded unto it, making a separation between joints and marrow, and giving you a discerning of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Hebrews 4:12. And unto all who feel true longings, living breathings, and ardent desires in their souls to know this blessed work, I say, bow down in tenderness of spirit and sincerity of heart to this seed of the kingdom, though it be but as a grain of mustard seed, be low within and love that light which discovers the seed of the serpent. Love its workings and movings in the heart. Suffer with it, sorrow and mourn with it, and give up not only to the discoveries of the seed of the kingdom, but also to the judgments it brings, that the nature and works of the seed of the serpent may be destroyed. For the soul can never come to be one with the incorruptible seed, nor be born of it, in which the promises are all yes and amen, but through the wasting, working under, and destroying of the nature and work of the seed of the serpent, which has been as a separation or partition wall between the soul and Christ Jesus. So, through becoming passive and subject to the power of God and the working of His incorruptible seed in its least and lowest appearance, it will bring everyone that is acquainted with it into a very low and tender spirit, and will fill the heart and soul with the fear, dread, and awe of the Most High. And these will become truly careful and will be diligent to heed and cautious of neglecting its secret motions and its sweet, powerful workings in the soul. And if you will diligently and constantly cleave with your souls unto it, you will feel and see, as your faith stands in it, the working of it to be as leaven, to leaven you into the divine nature. So, be not weary of bearing the cross of Christ, nor of mourning here in these deep exercises of spirit, but preserve daily in the love of this immortal seed. For then, coming to be born again and brought forth by the power of its workings in the soul, you will be tenderly nursed up by that which is of the same nature, namely, the pure milk of that Word which lives and abides forever, of which you were begotten. And thereby you will grow up to the day of espousal in the marriage chamber of divine love and life, where the soul is safe in the enjoyment of the unutterable joy of the Lord God and the Lamb forever. So then, as the soul gives up in love to God, freely to follow Him in the way of His judgments, and gives up to the sword of the Lord that which is for the sword, and gives up to destruction that which is for destruction, so the precious work of the Lord will prosper. And although this may be a time of sorrow, of trouble and anguish, yet it is a good day. Therefore strive not to get out from under it, neither to make haste, for the true godly sorrow works the true repentance, which is never to be regretted. After the true repentance follows the true knowledge of remission and forgiveness, and so your iniquities come to be blotted out by the judgments of the Lord. And then times of refreshment come from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Therefore, in the name of Him who lives forever, I say unto you everywhere, be inward, inward, inward. Hasten inward to the divine nature, which alone will be a safe abiding place in the dreadful pleading day of Almighty God that comes quickly. And in His name I warn all who have gone out from the obedience to the daily cross of Jesus Christ and abide not in the daily holy watch, and thereby have got into false liberty in their ways, words, conduct, food, drink, and apparel, to return speedily inward under the operation of the spiritual circumcising knife, that all which offends the Lord and grieves His good spirit may be effectually cut off and removed, and you may be brought into fear, dread, awe, and holy watchfulness in the light of the Lamb. Bear the yoke of the Lord Jesus, and love His heavenly cross, which crosses all your inclinations to vanity and vain pleasures. Let nothing come between it and you. So your growth will be daily from one degree of strength and stature to another. And in the light, You will behold the snares and temptations of the enemy, and abide in a living inward diligence, out of the foolish virgin's state, where spiritual idleness brings spiritual slumber, to the losing of the oil, and so the lamp goes out. But abiding in a daily subjection to the heavenly cross, in the holy watch, you will grow up to the young man's state, wherein you become strong, and the word of God abides in you, and abiding in it, you will overcome the wicked one and escape the highway, stony and thorny ground. For as there is a faithful abiding in inward watchfulness and continual obedience to this heavenly light, in which the beginning of the work of God is known, there will be a going on from step to step in the footsteps of the flock of Christ Jesus, and a growing from strength to strength over sin and the nature thereof, and from one degree of grace to another. So the eye of the understanding will be single, and here everything which does hinder will be seen, and the soul will not be moved away from an inward travail until that which hinders is taken out of the way, and until all the rule and authority of the enemy is subdued under the feet of the Lord's anointed, and the government in the soul is upon his shoulders, whose right it is to reign over all. And here salvation, redemption, and restoration are effectually enjoyed through faith and the effectual working of the almighty power of God, unto whom be the glory of his own work forever. Here will be a growing and increasing, until there is a coming into the precious state and image which man was in before he fell. The bypaths, crooked ways, wiles, and snares of the enemy discovered. Now, when the mind is turned to this divine heavenly seed, and the work of the Lord has begun, the same destroyer that brought man into bondage at first, and has kept him in bondage, will begin to work cunningly and endeavor to destroy the work which God has begun in the soul. And that he may accomplish his end, he will go about every way seeking an entrance, and will lay his temptations suitable to the propensity or inclinations of each person. If the heart is bowed under a weighty sense of iniquity and many transgressions, through which sorrow and bitterness has become great, then the enemy will work in his transformings, in an appearance like light, though in nature he is contrary thereto. For though the true light gives a certain understanding of the inward state, and does bring sorrow because of sin, and reveals the mountain of iniquity, yet it also begets a secret hope of overcoming by the Lord's strength. But when the enemy sees the soul bowed down, he often afflicts and brings it into unbelief of ever overcoming, thereby endeavoring to sink it into despair, knowing that if he overcomes, he still keeps the soul under his power. But if all who are in this exercise will but wait upon the Lord with a single heart and with the mind stayed in the light, they will discover this snare. For, as I said, although the true appearance of God's heavenly light and grace does bring a day of trouble, sorrow, and anguish, yet this sorrow is not a sorrow without hope. But the enemy's working is to bring the soul into a sorrow without hope, and to drag down the spirit into the chambers of darkness. When this snare is discovered, and the soul, through the love and power of God, is comforted and refreshed, and raised up in a measure of living hope, then the enemy endeavors to lead away from the inward daily travail, so that judgment will not be brought forth into victory. And so he draws the mind into a false persuasion of obedience and diligence when there is not a real abiding in that light which gives a true sense of its state. And as he before desired to destroy the hope which is a sure and steadfast anchor, so now he seeks to beget a false hope and confidence, and lead the soul out from under the daily cross, by which the nature that is alienated from God should be destroyed. If the enemy is seen and overcome in both these snares, and the inward work prospers until much has been subjected, And through daily obedience to the heavenly power, much has been slain, and the heart comes in good measure to be cleansed, and a good progress is made through the administration of condemnation that is glorious in its time. And something of pure peace and heavenly joy arises in the heart. Here again the enemy will be subtly at work to betray, by persuading the soul to sit down now, as if all were done, and so lead it away from feeding on the tree of life, to feed on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and to break the commandment of the Lord. At first, he subtly draws the mind out to take a little liberty, away from that diligent watchfulness and fear it was in before. And if he prevails in this, he will lead further out of the innocent life, and by degrees open an eye that sees something attractive in outward things that affects the mind. And as he prevails gradually and hiddenly, the true eye that was opened comes again, through disobedience, to be in some measure blinded. And here loss is sustained, even before the unwatchful is aware. So the work of the enemy is first to cause these to make shipwreck of faith in a little measure, no longer having their daily beliefs stand in the power. And as the daily enjoyment of this is lost by degrees, there will then be a turning away from the power of godliness into the mere form. And although at times the power of the Lord may still be felt in this state, yet because there is not a continual feeling after and enjoying it as true refreshment and consolation, so a false image rises up in its place. Then the enemy presents some objects to take up the mind, so that by degrees he may enter in and defile it, and draw it from its true guide, so as to make shipwreck of a good conscience. If the enemy is discovered here, before he can so effect his work and bring death and darkness over the soul again, and the power of the Lord breaks his snares and gives a true sense thereof, through which trouble and anguish of spirit comes, here he will again transform and work as he did in the beginning, appearing like the condemning power of the Lord. Thus he endeavors to lead the mind into despair of ever recovering its former condition, and also to draw it to look at the one who has stung him, so that the remedy, that is, the soul-ransoming power of the Lord, may not be felt after or looked for. But if there is a true regard unto the Lord, and a waiting upon him in the way of his judgments, Isaiah 26:8, desiring that all faith and confidence stand in his power, then the backsliding will be healed, Jeremiah 3:22. And so, returning and diligently keeping in the light, the power of the Lord God will overcome that which has endeavored like a roaring lion to destroy, and so lead the soul on in the way again. But when deliverance is known from this deadly snare, and the work goes on prosperously until the house is swept and put in order, and there is a passing from death unto life, and when the soul has gone through the ministration of condemnation, and the spirit that ruled in the disobedient state has been cast out, and the administration of the Spirit, which does exceed in glory, is known, then the enemy will again transform himself as an angel of light, and with all his power and strength, work by temptation on the right hand and on the left. And when there are openings in the understanding and prophecies, and when through the working of the eternal power joy springs in the heart, then the enemy will work secretly to draw the mind out of the valley of humility. And if he prevails in this, he will endeavor to lead into extremes, and so bewilder the mind and hurry it into imaginary notions in order to dishonor the name of the living God and to lay waste his work. Thus he seeks to destroy the true birth, which through sorrow and travail has been brought forth. If the enemy cannot prevail here, but the light of the Lord discovers him, then he will work to draw the mind out from watchfulness and daily fear, and from the liberty of the sons of God, which liberty is only to serve the Lord. For when dominion is felt in some measure, comfort and consolation are enjoyed, and praises arise in the heart to the one who has visited and redeemed, Then the enemy will be ready to draw the mind out of the steady state of meek and constant watchfulness in the light, thereby causing the soul to spend its portion, like the prodigal, and to squander his enjoyment by running before the leadings and movings of the power of the Lord, speaking much of the enjoyment, the prophecies and openings, but not being led thereto by that power that first opened the heart. Here, an untimely birth is brought forth that will wither and come to nothing. Where the enemy cannot prevail by these snares and temptations, he will not cease, but goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8, and how he may again get entrance. But he lays his temptations according to the spirit, growth, capacities, and inclinations of every individual. After the good work of God has begun, and the arm of his salvation has been wonderfully revealed to bring out of Egypt's spiritual darkness, and he has given many eminent deliverances from the destroying enemy, and has often fed the soul with the heavenly food, and caused the rock to yield water for the thirsty, and after many bypaths and backslidings in the wilderness have been seen and discovered by the eternal power, and there is a passing through the river of judgment, and the mighty power of God drives out the enemy that has inhabited the land where only Abraham's seed is to inhabit, and the war in great measure ceases, and part of the good land is possessed and enjoyed, even the land that flows with spiritual milk and honey. Here also will the crooked, subtle enemy be working, as he did with outward Israel, causing Jeshurun to grow fat and then kick against the power, Deuteronomy 32:15. For in the case of those who have come thus far, the serpent seeks to lead the mind out through the enjoyment of that which is good in its place into a state of ease, to lightly esteem the rock of their salvation, and so forget the Lord that formed man and brought him into the land of rest. Thus he leads out from the inward enjoyment of virtue to set up idols in the heart, so that men serve gods of their own creation, having a profession of truth without the possession of life. Into this condition the old enemy has prevailed to lead many a people who in different ages have seen something of the mighty works of the Lord and his arms stretched out and magnified in the sight of their enemies. Nevertheless, they departed from the Lord and from the inward sense of his power. And then, the spirit that was formerly cast out and wandered in dry places takes with it seven worse spirits and returns, tempts, prevails, and enters. And the latter end is worse than the beginning. For in the beginning, although the enemy had his power and rule, yet there was a sense of this, and the heart was humbled, made tender, and brought into true poverty, and there was a mourning before the Lord for lack of dominion. And in this state of humiliation and brokenness of heart, in which the Lord takes delight, he visited the soul in his boundless loving kindness, and caused his redeeming, saving power to be revealed. But now in this other state, the mind is lofty, the heart is fat, full, at ease, and has gone into the love of the world and the things thereof, through which it has become unmindful of the Lord, who in the beginning was sought after every day and diligently waited for. Thus the rock, the power of God, is lightly esteemed. For the esteem is set upon another thing. And here two great evils have been committed at once, namely, they have forsaken the fountain of living mercies, and they have hewn for themselves broken cisterns. Jeremiah 2:13. That is, a Christian profession that will hold no water, no durable refreshment, no durable joy, no durable peace or consolation. Thus the enemy has prevailed through many ages, through his gradual working and subtlety, to bring thousands away from their enjoyment of God in a pure, tender, and upright spirit. And his first step thereto is always to bring the mind out of the constant, daily watchfulness, almost imperceptibly, causing a little liberty to be taken for the carnal mind, with a certain enjoyment or sweetness therein, whereby a darkening comes over the sight of the mind, and the soul is allured into more liberty. Sometimes he begins by drawing out of obedience to those things that were required in the day of small things, Zechariah 4:10, perhaps into the use of many words, no longer to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, Psalm 84:10. The enemy works to cause such things to seem small and indifferent, thereby causing the offense of the cross to cease. Then the mind runs forth to make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts, Romans 13:14, either in food, drink, apparel, or any such thing which the truth in time past had made manifest, and the power of God, the cross of Christ, had judged down and in measure led out of, into watchfulness and pure fear, not making provision for the flesh in any respect to fulfill its lusts. For the truth draws the heart, both in practice as well as in principle, into plainness and out of all superfluities, allowing the creature to refresh his natural needs, but not to feed his lusts. But yet the enemy works by degrees, subtly and covertly, to lead out of the liberty of the cross of Christ Jesus, which is the power of God unto salvation, into the liberty of the flesh. Hereby he gets a further entrance, gradually working to draw the mind into many words, either in business or discourse, or into the love of the world, etc. And though many times the power of God here may be felt in some measure to draw out of the snare, yet because the god of this world has already much blinded the eye and darkened the understanding, there is not a clear sense of the power of the Lord and his workings, nor the subtlety of the enemy. For though a man may in great measure keep to his religious profession and outward conformity, yet under all this the enemy may work undiscovered by the unwatchful, and so, step by step, lead out of the power of godliness, until he has slain the birth which was begotten in the first days of tender visitation. And then there will be a growing proud, and such as these will call the operation of God's power extremes and imaginations, and will kick like Jeshurun, and turn against the power of God. For these are best contented with a likeness and image. Such love to hear smooth things from the wisdom of gifted men, who have lost their way by turning from the power and not waiting on all occasions to be guided thereby. And here we find the itching ear and the heaping up of teachers to please themselves, 2 Timothy 4:3. And here Jezebel is upheld, which error crept into the church of Thyatira and has continued in all ages wherever men have gone out from the broken, tender state and allowed and nurtured this Jezebel, who must be cast on the bed of torments and all her children killed with death, Revelation 2:23. All the workings of the enemy under every disguise are to slay that which was made alive and to bring the soul into contentment with an outside profession of the way of the truth, light, and life of Christ Jesus, the power of God unto salvation, while the heart has gone from the Lord and embraced other lovers. Where the enemy thus prevails, in the process of time he leads all back into the world, from where the arm of the Lord has gathered them, and the latter end of such is worse than the beginning. For having made shipwreck of faith and of a good conscience, the second death comes over them, and these become twice dead, and are as salt which has lost its savor, being good for nothing but to be cast forth and trodden under foot of men. The preservation out of all of these bypaths, crooked ways, wiles, snares, and temptations of the enemy is only in the true waiting and sincere abiding in the light, gift, and grace of God, in which the daily revelations and manifestations of God's eternal power are known. For in the daily acquaintance and experience of this, the heart is preserved low and tender, and inward breathing and panting arises after the daily enjoyment of life, power, and refreshing virtue, which alone renews and increases the strength of the inward man. May God Almighty preserve all of Zion's travelers in this way unto the end. A call in the love of God to all the scattered sheep. Now hearken and give ear, you scattered ones, upon the barren mountains of religious profession, who, having lost the living sense that was on many of your spirits years ago, are now seeking the living amongst dead professions and looking for bread in desolate places. Remember the years past. Call to mind the days of your tenderness, when the light of God so shined upon your tabernacle that by it you saw yourselves to be in darkness and in separation from the enjoyment of your Creator. This sense brought a day of mourning and bitter lamentation upon you, and was the cause of your fasting, praying, and earnest seeking after the Lord with sighs and tears. This caused some of you to set times to meet together, to pour forth your souls in seeking the living God for his breaking forth among you, and for the revealing of his arm of salvation. In that day, how did many of you retire into your closets and secret places to mourn before the Lord? How were your cries and pantings after the Lord more than those who watch for the morning? And in that day, was it not the substance itself that you sought after, even the revealing of the Son of God's love in your souls? Let me expostulate with you in the name of the mighty God, even with those among all religious professions who have any tenderness or breathings after the Lord remaining in you. What was it that stirred up your hearts many years ago to thus seek after the Lord? What gave you the sense of your own inward conditions and made sin appear exceedingly sinful? What was it that you felt in your minds that warred against the law of sin and death in your members, and in some measure opened the eye of your understanding to see idolatry and superstition? What was it that drew your hearts out of the world and made those things of little esteem in comparison with that which your awakened souls sought after? What was it that inwardly upheld you in sufferings when the wicked raged as the waves of the sea, and when you were mocked for the plainness of your appearance or the strictness of your families? Remember your many eminent deliverances. How did the Lord answer you in the day of your tenderness? What was it that exercised your hearts and moved on your spirits for a true reformation? Was it not the free grace of God? Was it not that light which shined in your tabernacle? Did it not shine in your hearts and move your spirits Godwards and begin the work of the Lord in you? Why did you turn aside from following on to know the Lord in the way of his judgments when a little prosperity attended you? Why did you seek to get out from under his judgment before it was brought forth unto victory? Be awakened and come back. You who have thus turned aside for empty words and wandered from one mountain of profession and imagination to another until you have spent all your portion and, in nature, have returned to Babylon, the city of confusion, out of which the Lord thus calls you, hasten, hasten to come forth and partake no longer with her in her sins, lest you partake with her in her plagues, which are hastening to come upon her and upon all that shall be found within her borders. Open your eyes and behold where it was that you turned aside and why your foolish hearts have been darkened. For the enemy that goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, wrought in you to turn you from this divine seed that had awakened you and begun to work the work of God in you to a profession of the words and conditions which the saints wrote of in the Scriptures. But the saints had attained these things by passing from death to life in obedience to the grace of God, which is given to every man to profit withal. 1 Corinthians 12:7. They knew the holy war and fought the good fight and so obtained the victory. Through the effectual workings of grace they obtained it, and not through mere notions concerning the words of their brethren the prophets. Thus they were made partakers of the promises through faith and obedience unto and in the eternal spirit of holiness. In this way they came to put off the old man, which is indeed a real work, and to put on the new man, which is indeed a real change and translation out of Satan's kingdom, out from under his power, into the kingdom of the dear Son of the living God, so to be under his power. But the enemy of your souls turned you from this free grace of God, which wrought in you in your day of tenderness, by drawing your minds into airy notional grace, professing that by it you were saved, not considering that the immortal souls of such as these continue to lie in bondage, for their faith stands in notions and not in the power of God. This faith is nothing more than a belief in what has been done for them outwardly, but not a coming experientially to know the work of God inwardly, nor the obedience of faith which purifies the conscience and makes alive unto God. And such has been the soaring imagination of some who are called ministers, that they have presumed to teach and hold forth a free grace that allows liberty to the fleshly nature and avoids the cross of Christ, which teaching is contrary to that holy liberty which is known by the operation of the true grace of God. For though it is true, as the Apostle says, that by grace we are saved, yet whoever holds forth this grace so as to raise a belief in any that they are saved by it from condemnation while they are still found transgressors against the righteous law of God, these, I say, do not rightly divide the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15, but teach for doctrine the conceptions of their own brain. For it is not a bare belief or assent of the mind to the power of grace that can give satisfaction to the immortal soul, or a true assurance of eternal peace with God. But there must be also a conformity in the inward man to its power, so that man comes to be created anew in Christ Jesus unto good works, and to be sanctified throughout in body, soul, and spirit. And I have found that instead of preaching a conformity to the power of the grace, men have preached a sort of free grace, which in itself is indeed a proper enough expression, for the grace of God is freely extended to all. But a grace which justifies sin and sanctifies persons by an imputed righteousness, even in such a manner as has led many to conclude themselves to be in a state of salvation while sin continues its reign in their mortal bodies. This, I cannot help but testify, is as great an error and as contrary to the gospel ministration and to the end for which Christ was manifest in the flesh, which was to save people from their sins, so as no longer to live therein, as the error of the scribes and Pharisees, who sought and believed in justification by the works of the law, without the righteousness of faith. Thus has it been that many have turned the grace of God into fleshly license, or turned from the grace of God into indulgence, so that many professors of Christianity have grown light and vain, and run with the profane into the same flood of dissipation, 1 Peter 4:4, and being lifted up in the flesh, they became much in show, but were little and light in the true balance. And here, all you professors of Christianity who have gone out from the spiritual appearance of Jesus Christ within into a profession of the saints' conditions and performances without the leadings of the same spirit and power, here, I say, you have lost your way and gone out from your guide who would have led you up to the substance, Christ Jesus. Thousands of ignorant people have been led through the cunning craftiness of men into an empty profession of words. And when the manifestation of the Spirit of God, which is given to every man for their profit, has stirred in the heart to draw the mind out of the ways, spirit, and nature of the world, then the transforming enemy has lain near to deceive and betray, directing people into one profession of religion or another, or encouraging them to take up this outward performance or the other shadow, under the plausible pretense of being the ordinances of God in Christ. Here the subtle enemy, who will gladly allow men to be in the practice of outward things while he can retain his throne in the heart, has led thousands aside out of the straight way of salvation by drawing them away from the true inward guide, from the grace of God that brings salvation and has appeared unto all men, Titus 2:11. Into outward observations. And here, the fear towards God is taught by the precepts of men, Isaiah 29:13. who know not the leadings of the Spirit and power of God. And so they have healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah 6:14 and 8:11. And they have plastered with untempered mortar. Ezekiel 13:10. And now, all you scattered ones upon the barren mountains, hear the counsel and call of the Lord. Turn, you prodigals, who have spent your portions and lost much of your sincerity and tenderness, and that inward enjoyment of the Lord that you had years ago. Oh, turn, you who for so long a season have endeavored to fill yourselves with husks and with a profession in words of what the former saints enjoyed. My heart yearns towards you, and my soul is often bowed down in the sense of your condition. My heart is pained within me when I behold your wandering up and down, seeking rest and finding none, except what is polluted, so that your souls are lean for lack of the fullness of God's house and the enjoyment of it. My soul cries unto him night and day to visit you with his outstretched arm. Return, return unto that light which will show you all that ever you have done and will lead you to the Father's house where your bread will be sure. Spend no more money, precious time, or labor for that which is only a profession or talk of bread and which cannot truly satisfy your soul. Therefore, everyone gather inward into a feeling of, a continuing with, and being subject to the glorious, precious, ancient, living, and mighty power of God. Let all diligently attend its teachings, leadings, openings, and operations, that by its light a search may go forth through all hearts, all families, and assemblies, and that all that grieves his Holy Spirit and is offensive in the pure eyes of the Lord may be discovered, and every garden viewed to see what grows there, so that every plant that is not of the Lord's planting may be discovered and pulled up. For the Lord is arising to prove, to try, to fan, to purge, and to refine. The day comes on that will burn as an oven. But what shall abide? Who may abide? Let this be your inquiry. For the lead, the tin, yes, also the reprobate silver, Jeremiah 6:30, will pass away in this refining fire. And that which may have the likeness of gold, but is not of a pure enduring nature, will vanish away, and leave poor and empty all who possess not the true gold. So, dear friends, everywhere I say unto you, in the dread, awe, fear, and name of the Lord, hasten. Hasten out of all that is not weighty, out of that nature which keeps the soul in any bondage and distance from the Lord. Yes, hasten out of the state of professing the truth in a nature and spirit contrary to it, which grieves the Spirit of the Lord God. Dear friends, the pure eye of the Lord that runs to and fro, beholding the evil and the good, sees all states and conditions, all false ways and false births. He sees all that run from the daily cross, that lose the sweet, lovely image of God and are growing up in another image in the house of imagery. He sees all that depart out of the sweet, tenderizing, heavenly wisdom into that which is earthly and sensual, wherein there is a pride in former experiences, a sort of knowledge that brings sorrow, and a growing fat and strong in that which must be fed with judgment. I say the pure, immortal eye of the eternal, ever-living God sees all these states and conditions and all the bypaths and crooked ways which the enemy of souls leads into. Therefore, hasten, hasten to meet the Lord God Almighty in the way of his judgments. Bow. Bow unto the pure power of the Lord. Feel it burning and consuming wherever there is anything that hurts the soul, brings into bondage, and darkens the understanding. Let all be brought down under the dominion and reign of this glorious power through its consuming, utter destroying, and burning up all that is contrary to the divine nature. In this immortal power, peace is known with the Lord, through his blessed work of spiritually slaying the enemy, and thereby is the reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all who are lovers of this sweet, ancient power of the Lord, having had heavenly tastes of it and precious sweet openings by it, oh, dwell with it and in it, and it will give you your soul's desire, crowning you with dominion over the man of sin, both his root and fruit. And in this power, your inward man will walk in spirit with God, who is a spirit, and obtain that which Enoch obtained, even the testimony that you are pleasing to God. And therefore, all friends everywhere, wait for the fresh springing and glorious arising of this almighty power of the Lord, that it may manifest itself everywhere, rending all veils, breaking all bonds, opening all graves, raising up all souls into life itself. Then, in all your assemblies and meetings everywhere, you will have this testimony, that life and immortality have been brought to light. 2 Timothy 1:10. And in it you will receive with joy unspeakable and full of glory, because this immortal power reigns over all, glows over all, waters all, melts down all, fills all, and sweetens all. And in the enjoyment of its spiritual filling, holy high praises will arise, and thanksgiving in the sweet spiritual melody of eternal life will spring and be offered up in the sweet overcoming of his love, who is the mighty power of God unto salvation. And so all that is false and wrong, all that grieves the good Spirit of the Lord, may be driven and carried away before the mighty stream and the strong flowing of the immortal power of the being of all beings. But to all who have lost your way, I sound the trumpet of the Lord in your ears. Prepare, prepare to meet the Lord Jehovah in the valley of decision. Joel 3:14. And to all who have any tenderness in your hearts and breathings after the Lord amongst all Christian professors, I say, come out of Babylon and be separate. Touch no unclean thing, that the Lord may receive you. For he stands ready to receive all that come to him in truth and righteousness, and will mark all who mourn because of the sins of the people, which are great. Therefore, flee for your lives out of Sodom's nature, and do not stick in a mere profession of words, which does not spring from the immediate work of God and the daily operation of his eternal power in your heart. Rather, come down into obedience to the pure, still voice of the Spirit, the gift of God in your own heart, which will, as your inward ear is attentive, direct you in the narrow way of life eternal. Here you will come to what perhaps moved your heart towards God many years ago and wrought you into a tender frame. Now walk in this and be faithful, and it will lead you to the fountain of blessedness from which it came, and unto the horn of God's anointed. And so to Shiloh shall be the gathering of thousands throughout the nations, tongues, and people. And the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above all the mountains through this great day of trial, tribulation, and anguish. May the Lord God Almighty reach all hearts that have any longing desires after him amongst people of all religious professions, drawing many to himself as brands plucked from the fire. So breathes my soul, who am a travailer for the universal visitation and deliverance of the seed of Jacob. Charles Marshall.